You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Monday, October 27th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcoming everybody to the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Happy Monday, back to work and back to school. Nice to hear and see everybody. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well. Glad to have you here and seem to be doing better, at least, than last week.
I apologize again. My voice is not back in full form, although I rested it for a lot of the weekend.
It sounds better.
Does it? All right. Well, it doesn't feel right.
Right.
It's not about me, but I feel badly because I know it's difficult when people have to listen to somebody whose voice is not, you know, tuned up, as they say. So I'm still dealing with this salivary gland stone. Yes, you can get stones in your salivary glands. I'm off the Claritin because the antihistamine dried things up too much. So I might be having a little bit of allergies as well. I'm not sure. But I will tell you the lump in my neck is severely gone down. So I'm not sure if it's the antibiotic. I got a couple of those left or what. But now they've elevated me. I'm working things out. I have to go see my ear, nose, and throat doctor to get imaging. So once again, we're going to check to see if there's anything in Todd's head, which a lot of people know there's nothing there.
Well, but you'll get some proof either way.
I'll get some proof. Trump got a little imaging done as well, or so he claimed over the weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that. Shake up at CBS. Going to bring you the latest on that breaking this afternoon. Also, Scott McFarland with an update. Speaking of CBS, on the shutdown continues out in Washington, D.C. SNAP benefits for many Wisconsinites will end at the end of this week unless something is done. Donald Trump congratulating Argentina again over the weekend. And at the bottom of this hour, I cannot wait. This is the great thing about Mondays with Matt Nair. Is no matter how your weekend went, no matter how much you might be a little down in the dumps that it's Monday, it's brighter because of Jane Matt Nair. She'll join us at 2:35, the host of Matt Nair on Air with her co-host Greg Bach every morning from 9 until 11. That's going to be fun.
Absolutely. It's always an amazing time talking with Jane.
It is. By the way, those watching the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, anytime you see me, your radio and streaming host, take a drink, it's a lovely time for you, the listening and viewing audience, to enjoy a beverage as well. So,
stay hydrated, folks.
Stay hydrated. Hydrate or dihydrate. Here's how much I keep track. This, if you want to know, you say, Todd, well, you just say that you listen to Matt Nair on Air. No. I have proof now in the company chat. Here's how out of it, well, A, how dedicated of a listener I am to Matt Aaron, and B, how out of it. Saturday, I just felt completely out of it. I thought, I rarely sleep in. I never pull my blinds, but I'm like, all right, I'll pull my blinds. I'll try to get some extra sleep on Sunday morning. And I slept to like 8:15. I'm like, well, that's pretty good for me. And maybe I'll lay there for a while, lay there another 20 minutes, half an hour, but I got to get up. So I got up, put the water on, and make myself a Chemex pour over with Wonder State Coffee, which I happen to be wearing there. These are great T-shirts, by the way, this shirt I have on. And so 9 o'clock comes, 9:06, and I thought, well, I'll dial up Jane and Greg on the old Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it for free to your Apple or iPhone device. So I loaded up the Civic Media app, and there's some kind of music playing. And I'm like, well, maybe things got messed up, and so I went to the next station. I'm like, this is playing on every station. What's going on? So I put into the general chat of the company for all to see. I put out an SOS. Why can't I hear Matt Naranair? And then I realized it was Sunday. And so I put in the general chat, and it's also Sunday. So as it turns out, Matt Naranair does not play on Sunday. But you can hear it every day from 9 until 11, Monday through Friday. Monday through Friday, as it turns out. So there's that. Also, over the weekend, Badger football, I'll give them this. First half, they competed. And the defense did look better, right? The defense did look better, half number one for the Badgers. Half number two, Oregon just... My youngest godson, Jason, was there. He lives out in Seattle. He and the boys drove down to Eugene. He said the weather was miserable. He said it was kind of an equalizing factor. They got turf out there in Eugene, Oregon. But Badgers came up short once again. They're going to win this week. Because it's a bye week. They're off this week, the Badgers. But how about last night, Sombers? There we go.
Go, Pack, go! Go, Pack, go!
That's right. The Green Bay Packers went down to Steelers territory. Pittsburgh Steelers last night taking on their former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. And the first quarter or so, what I got nervous is they brought back George Mason or whatever his name is, the kicker, from his, and he missed the first one. He missed the
second. It was pretty bad.
It was terrible. I thought, and I tweeted out. I said, Packers, what are you doing? Bring back Haversick. I want the teacher kicking. Kick the longest field goal in Packer history last week or week before, whatever it was. But the Packers got things rearranged, got things going, and the Packers got a big win 35-25 last night against A-Rod and the Steelers. Packers now 5-1-1. Steelers dropped to 4-3. And here was Aaron Rodgers last night on the loss.
Not a whole lot. I just feel like we had some discipline issues and some penalties that were unnecessary. And then you're not going to win a lot of games when we're so bad on third down. You're playing good teams, you need to score touchdowns, and we just stalled out in the high red zone.
Aaron Rodgers last night, pretty matter-of-fact about the loss, as a matter of fact. After that, Rodgers was asked by the way, our own Mike Clemens, the best sports reporter in the land, was in Pittsburgh last night to bring us these cuts. Always appreciate when Mike Clemens does that for us. Rodgers was asked by Clemens and the press gaggle about the fact that there were a lot of Packer fans last night at the stadium in Pittsburgh, and you could hear the chants, go Pack, go. Here was Rodgers' reaction.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll give Rodgers this. I actually thought he was very gracious and very mature. This entire last week, he said nothing but good things that I heard about the Green Bay organization. He said, look, I started there, and at some point, I'm going to retire there. And everybody knows he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He clearly wants to retire as a Packer. And so no matter what you think about Aaron Rodgers, I thought he was a class act.
Yeah, I have to agree. It also was, aside from hearing Go Pack Go at a non-home game, it was really weird hearing Aaron Rodgers' voice just like, 318!
That was a horrible impression.
But
it was not bad. Not bad. Yeah, the green at 19, you heard a little bit of that last night. So, yeah, I mean, it was weird. It was weird seeing him in those throwback outfits or uniforms from Pittsburgh last night. I liked the all-white last night. I really liked the all-white of the Packers.
It looks good.
It looks sharp. One more cut. Our own Jordan Love. Current Packers quarterback last night on the win.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays being made and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just do your job, lock in and execute plays and stay on the field. And we did that.
They sure did. Packers got it done. Again, final score. You heard it on many of our Packer radio networks across Civic Media. Packers 35, Pittsburgh 25. Packers now 5-1-1. And, you know, looking pretty good. They play next on November 2nd at 12 noon at home at Lambeau against the Carolina Panthers. So there you go. Congrats, Pack. Great weekend to be a Packer fan. We'll get to Luke Fickell maybe a little bit later in the broadcast. By the way, I was hoping their own Jacqueline Rivera, our HR person, director, would be here today. She's not. She's not in her office. And so let me start a rumor on statewide radio. My feeling is Jacqueline is not at her desk today because she has been tabbed by her alma mater, LSU, to lead the search and screen committee to find a new head coach for the LSU Tigers. LSU, who got pounded at home at night at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge by Texas A&M on Saturday, and by late last, about the time the Packers started playing last night, in a surprise to some announcement, LSU announced they're going to buy out the remaining six-ish years of Brian Kelly's contract to LSU, over $50 million, close to $55 million. They're trying to negotiate with him, but boy, that's probably a bad way to do it, fire him and then negotiate the settlement. And of course, Jacqueline is a very proud, she's been on this program before, proud LSU alum, no fan of Brian. I'm sure maybe she's celebrating today, Jacqueline, but she's a human resource director, And so it would not surprise me that she offers her services up to find a new head coach in Baton Rouge.
Very possible. And especially, you know, I don't think there's ever a day that you cannot spot, you know, the white and purple and gold
right. She's
somewhere.
A big fan.
Even if it's just earrings, there's yeah. always something. And very often it's the entire outfit, shoes included. There's everything.
It's to some people, it's not a shock that Brian Kelly was let go. But, I mean, again, these... Penn State pays out over $50 million, $51 million to get rid of James Franklin at Penn State. And now, what, 2-3 weeks later, LSU is in a position where they got to pay Brian Kelly $55 million to do nothing. I mean, he still technically has to, like, try to find a job or, like, be sending out resumes or whatever. But anything, and he could get hired. Like, he could get hired, Brian Kelly, to be an analyst at ESPN for $100,000 a year. And they would have to make up the remainder of that $10 million-ish a year.
Which, that's a little bit of money.
It's a little bit of money. And it brings up an interesting question, which is Luke Fickell's team now is going on a year and a half not winning a Big Ten game for Wisconsin. It's questionable whether they'll win another game all year. They have 2 wins so far. And I think a lot of people are wondering now, because Luke Fickell was brought in by Chris McIntosh, the AD, athletic director at Wisconsin, to make the splash, to compete for a national championship. They redid Camp Randall, put in heated turf so that they could host playoff games, one of the 12 playoff teams. And so far, it's been a bust. So if you say you're going to play, why haven't you fired Fickell yet? The answer might be they can't afford it. So Fickell has gambled, not like NBA gambling, but McIntosh has gambled and so far come up snake eyes. We'll come back, talk about the government shutdown in Washington and how it affects Wisconsin after this. Civic Media, ready to...
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network, October 27th, 2025. Aaron Zommer's on the board. Always glad to have him there. Glad to have you along to start another work week. It is Halloween week, Zommer's. You're not a huge Halloween guy, are you?
No. Well, especially because as a kid, I was never really allowed to participate.
Got it.
Religious reasons and stuff. But right. then... in more recent years, it's been pretty fun to try and figure out a costume and, you know, just hang out with friends.
We've never really done a Halloween show per se on this show, but I'm thinking this year because I came up with a great idea for a costume. So we'll think on that. We'll meet off stage here after the show. A little bit later, we're going to talk about because Mom is getting. I was back in the RC this weekend. Saw our friend Phil Nee on WRCO. Talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Mom's getting ready for Halloween, and God love her, she's not going El Cheapo. She's got, you know, like Reese's peanut butter cups and Snickers. And so she has about 171 pieces of candy. She has done the candy count. And so I encourage Brady and Brandon Ewing to get the kids over there early to get a good supply.
Yeah, anyway, strike while the iron's hot.
That's right. A little bit later, Americans plan to spend an average of $296 for Halloween this year.
Wait, really?
Really. I'll break it down for you a little bit later in the show. So
wow.
We'll kick Halloween week off with that. Jane Matinere going to be coming up after the bottom of the hour break. Always great to start our Mondays with Jane Matinere. All right, this from CBS's Scott McFarland, one of the best Washington reporters out there. He put this out this morning. I think it's a good little synopsis as we start another week of the government shutdown here in Washington, D.C., explaining part of the implications. Here's Scott McFarland.
Hey, good morning. It's Scott McFarland. It's Monday. I can tell you two things for sure. That weekend went by too quickly, and I was up way too late watching the Steelers and Packers, but we're back at it now. At least most of us are back at it now. Yet again, the U.S. House is out of session this week. They have called it off for another week amid this shutdown, and no matter who you think is responsible for that, if one side is more responsible than the other, it's pretty clear this is having a dramatic impact on people who are there to protect and serve as part of the government each day. You know, the lawmakers still get paid. Some will try to voluntarily surrender their paychecks, but the paychecks keep coming. But for the police who keep those lawmakers alive, they're on the job, they're essential, and their union is saying that they're facing hardships because they're not getting paid. This is the statement issued to me by the head of the Capitol Police Union, representing some of the roughly 2,000 employees of the U.S. Capitol Police. His quote is, "My officers are frustrated right now. This is the second pay period where they will not be paid, and they're feeling the financial pressure. I have officers who are taking out loans to pay the rent and feed their families. I have officers who are borrowing money from family members to make their car payments, pay for daycare, or their student loans." He calls it extremely frustrating that neither side is talking to the other. This is the representative of the Capitol Police who saved the Capitol on January 6th and who protect members of Congress in this highly super fueled threat environment each day. And it's not just Capitol Police. Spoke over the weekend with the head of the union representing many Federal Bureau of Prisons workers, including the correctional officers and the support staff inside federal prisons who have to help augment the correctional officers as needed. Some are getting paid, she says. Some are not. That is going to lead to turnover in a place where they don't need any turnover inside federal prisons. It's also leading to some true frustration with what's happening here. You have people who are there to try to save lives and protect safety and not getting paid. There's a concern they won't stay on that job for long. If so, and there's a concern that perhaps in Washington, they're still a little too tone deaf to this.
Scott McFarland, CBS News, posting this morning. I love his reporting because it's very doubt you can understand it. And this is a guy that I don't know when he sleeps. I watch a lot of network news. He's doing the morning show, CBS Mornings. He's on the evening news. He's doing the streaming stuff. He's going to all of these, but several of the January 6th hearings still continue on, the court cases. He follows the courts. He follows Congress. And he makes the great point that our law enforcement are being hurt by this shutdown. Here in Wisconsin, think about friends and family that are in the military, work in federal prisons, other federal jobs. These folks are being impacted in Wisconsin because the party that controls both houses of the Congress, the presidency, and for all intents and purposes, the Supreme Court, doesn't want to open it up. That's the bottom line. They're in charge. When you're in charge, you're responsible. By the way, we didn't get to this last week. From the New York Times, Timothy Mellon, a banking heir, is said to be the anonymous donor who gave $130 million. Let me say that number again, $130 million to the U.S. government to help pay troops during the shutdown. Works out, $130 million donation would equal about $100 per service member. So a couple of things, this New York Times story. A, it's $130 for each service member. Doesn't do a whole lot when you're trying to pay rent, car loans, child care, all the things that us civilians do, our military is trying to do as well as put their lives on the line. And then you have a private person giving Trump money to pay the military. Military is supposed to be working for the American people, not for Donald Trump. And here in Wisconsin, as SNAP benefits, i.e. food stamps, will run out of money after Friday, certainly a trick for Halloween, state Republicans in the legislature say, no, they're not going to use our $4 billion surplus to offset that. Certainly another trick. Come back for a treat. Jane Matt Nair is going to be here talking with us about all things in survivor mode, tribalism. Jane tells us about it. Stay tuned now for Pam Yonke and the Farm Report. Come on back. Two parties, multi-millions of dollars being spent. Who will survive, outwist, and outlast the political experiment in 250 years? Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. The unmistakable sound of the Survivor theme song on CBS. Welcome. One of my other favorite things in the world is Jane Matt Nair. You can hear her every morning along with Greg Baca. Matt Nair on air Monday through Friday. As it turns out, 9 until 11, she joins us from the greater Milwaukee area via StreamYard. Jane, how are you?
I am excellent. It is a beautiful October day in Wisconsin.
Boy. I know, right? It's really nice. It's one of my favorite times of the year. I was out in Richland Center this weekend, got to see Mom, saw our colleague Phil Nee because...
Oh, cool.
The name won't mean anything to you, but one of the long time, he was kind of Lou Regani. Of course, Lou works for WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and Ray Schrader was his name, and he worked at WRCO for at least 50 years.
Wow.
And he had, on Saturday afternoons, it was called Reminiscing with Ray, big band music and the like. He passed away last year at 90-something, and so his lovely and talented wife, who, and I can say this because I worked with him for years, put up with him for years. And she and the family, he had this huge collection of vinyl, but also a few CDs. And they went to the local book record shop at Richland Center, and they brought a bunch of his albums. And they said, come on in, and if you want one of Ray's albums, put a dollar in for a donation. And they're going to put a bench in the park with his name on it as a memorial. And so we got to see his lovely wife, Harriet, and so Phil was there as well. But many of my stupid comments that I say on the air, I credit to Ray, because he would talk a lot of doublespeak. He'd say, it's colder in the winter than it is in the country. Do you walk to work or carry your lunch? That kind of vaudeville.
The oldies but goodies.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yes.
You know, you probably remember, you used to have funeral homes, which I know you came from, your parents ran one. They would call into the radio station and give you the obituary. And you'd have to write all this out.
Oh, see, my father would do them live.
Really? On the air?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. He had his own show, like Obituary Central.
It was Obituary Minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ray,
depending upon what was going on, yes.
I'd come into the station to do my shift at Saturday night, and Ray would be there, and he'd say, how the hell is a guy supposed to do a record show when you got to take all these obituaries? And I said, I'm sorry. He goes, yeah, he goes, I got the funeral home called in, but he goes, thank God it was a short one. The guy was only 5'5".
What a bump.
So it was that kind of thing. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor listener, who is also an alum of WRCO, says, I'm beginning to feel more like when I got here than I do now. Another great Ray-ism. So anyway, I was in Richland Center, and it was the point of the whole thing is that it's beautiful out there right now in Southwest
it's
Wisconsin.
It's gorgeous, and the colors have really got to be kicking in around Richland Center.
They are. They're almost kind of their peak. So
no kidding.
For those watching on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twix, X, whatever you want to call it, I look ridiculous, more ridiculous than usual, because I have my Civic Media buff on in a headband form, a buff.
I am somewhat envious. I have not been privy to the buffs, as it were, and I'm kind of you're styling it. You're
no,
making
not
it
really.
Work.
I look,
even with headphones,
I look like a very old Ralph Macchio from Karate Kid. That's what I look like, a balding Ralph. Wax on, wax off. Oh, wait a minute. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, the whole point of this is that I get to talk to Jane, and I really don't care what anybody else thinks. It's just my chance to talk to Jane once a week. So Sunday, I told this story earlier, so I won't tell the whole thing. But Sunday, I wake up late. I slept and I wasn't feeling well. And at 9 o'clock, I hadn't turned anything on yet. I'm making coffee. And I'm like, oh, it's 9:05. I should see what Greg and Jane are. There's nothing. It's like music. And then it's like something else. And so I put in the Civic Media All chat. I don't know what's going on with the Civic Media app, but there is music playing instead of Jane and Greg. And about 3 minutes later, I realize it's Sunday.
It's Sunday.
So that's the
it
kind of
Sunday.
That's the kind of dedicated listener I am to Matt and Aaron every morning from 9 until 11.
Well, that's lovely. I have relations who aren't that dedicated. I'm telling you.
I was very disturbed. I couldn't hear you at 9 o'clock.
Don't you hate it, though, when you wake up and it's the wrong day?
Yes.
When I worked really early mornings, that would happen to me on weekends, and I would wake up at 4:30 in a panic.
Really? Yeah.
Because I was a half an hour late. Work at
right.
that point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the age thing is fantastic, isn't it?
it is.
So here's the deal. I've got we played the Survivor music and I have my buff on because the whole point of the thing is I want to talk about tribalism because, you know, you have tribes in Survivor that work against. And now, Jane, as you well know, we have a political tribalism. And I thought, well, here, let's talk about a couple of things that both tribes don't want us to talk about. So, first of all, on the Republican side, time once again for a beef update, Mr. Zomers.
A beef update?
An Argentinian beef update.
All right.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I
never left you.
Argentinian. We really should have done a rehearsal. Anyway, the Argentinian beef update. So, Jane, here you have Donald Trump on Air Force One flying somewhere around the world playing golf, meeting with people. And he decided to congratulate somebody over the weekend. Here's Trump on Air Force One.
Results from the Argentina election. It looks like a nice party.
Wow. What a
talk about the Argentinian
question.
Election.
I love that question because that was a big win in Argentina. I want to congratulate the victor, and he was a big victor, and he had a lot of help from us. He had a lot of help. I gave him an endorsement, very strong endorsement, and it was really unexpected to have a victory of that. Some people thought it would be hard to win, and not only did he win, he won by a lot. So,
all right, that's enough. The point is, here he is congratulating Argentinian president on a victory. He's putting $40 billion in to help their farmers. And last week, of course, Jane, he keeps suggesting that he's going to bring in Argentinian beef to flood the market to bring down beef prices. U.S. beef producers, not so happy, Jane.
Yeah, they're not so happy. Although, again, the leader of our country said just the other day that the cattlemen love him, just like the soybean farmers love him, and everyone loves him. And no, they're not happy. And there are so many problems with this. Now, first of all, from what I understand, and I have not looked into this a lot, Argentina has a problem with hoof and mouth disease
yes.
in their cattle. That is quite serious.
Mm-hmm.
That is not good. For another, from what I understand, cattle ranchers have finally been fighting their way back from really bad drought conditions they had a couple of years ago, in which it was far cheaper for them to send their cows to slaughter into the slaughterhouse than to continue to feed them because the droughts had been so bad. So they took a big hit then, and now they're finally gaining some ground. And then he goes and undercuts our own farmers, just like he has done to our soybean farmers.
And I know one of the things I love about you and Greg and Matt are on air 9 to 11 Monday through Friday is that you bring on people from industries. You bring on farmers and ag people. We did that last Friday. Cool thing. David Umbehan, a former dairy and now cattle farmer in Richland County, joined us from his combine, which I thought was fantastic.
Oh, cool.
And to your point, Jane, he said, just like the farmers you bring on your show, that, you know, this is not popular. This is not how you help beef farmers. We're finally able to make a couple of bucks here. And also, by the way, the trade wars are not helping us. And oh, also, by the way, David said, my kids rely on the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare for our health care here in the ag industry.
We talked to Darren Van Ruden from the Wisconsin Farmers Union about this a couple of weeks ago, about how many farmers use the ACA, which, by the way, in case you're confused, is also Obamacare. They are the same thing. Mm. The same thing could probably be said about SNAP benefits. And the number of people, especially in rural areas, that get SNAP benefits. A lot of folks who work for really struggling companies like Walmart have to use food stamps because they are paid so little.
Correct. And of course, we can go to that rabbit hole that SNAP benefits are supposed to expire on Friday. And we finished the fiscal year in Wisconsin with a $4 billion plus surplus.
Again.
And when yep. Republicans in the legislature were asked, hey, do you think we can make up the difference here for a while? Probably not, as it turns out.
No, why would we do that? That's not our responsibility. And I'm sorry, I'm going to sidetrack a little bit here, but that goes back to the whole FEMA monies.
Yes.
So we were denied, Wisconsin was denied FEMA money for infrastructure repairs after the terrible August flooding. This is what he said on the campaign trail. They were going to send FEMA back to the states. The states have to start picking up more of the burden. It's their responsibility. We're only the federal government. It's not our responsibility. And we're seeing this now. He does seem to be, however, being a little bit selective about which states get all the aid and which ones don't.
Funny how that works out. You weren't sidetracking at all. You're reading my mind as you always do. We're talking to our friend Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air every morning from 9 until 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network. No, I got the story right in my hands as you said that from Channel 3000 last week. We talked about this when it broke. Trump administration has denied Wisconsin's application for public assistance for Door County, Grant County, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha County. So it wasn't just, as if that wasn't bad enough, it wasn't just the southeast portion of the state. I mean, you know, Grant County, not exactly a blue voting county over there in southwest Wisconsin.
No doubt about it. But I also think that there is a tinge of, well, I hate their governor.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly.
I do, because he's a petty man.
We're talking about tribalism here with Jane. So that's on the Republican. These are the stories that they don't want us to talk about on the Republican side, the denial of federal aid. And by the way, where's all this big, Republican strength in our Ron Johnson and Brian Stile and Tom Tiffany. I mean, he wants to be governor, for goodness sake, and he can't even get his own president to give us a couple of bucks for FEMA relief.
I just saw a picture of Mr. Tiffany on Twitter, and he was slicing a big roast somewhere. So apparently whatever beef he's getting is going good, because Tom, of course, is still getting paid.
Right, as it turns
right,
out.
Right, Tom's getting paid. So, yeah. So it's all good in Tiff's world.
That's the Republican side. On the Democratic side, and I just want to publicly kudos to you and Greg Bach, and you had political editor Dan Schaefer with you last week, and you're calling this what it is. And this whole Jill Underlie story, the result from the Capital Times, And to me, Jane, this is no longer even about the Capital Times story so much. It's about Jill Underlie, the DPI superintendent, who refuses to talk to the press, refuses to be interviewed, refuses to sit before a state legislative committee on this. And when she was asked to do that, she takes a trip out to her alma mater, to Indiana University, to receive an outstanding alumnus award instead of doing her job.
Yeah, that doesn't look good. That's a major understatement. No, it's terrible. So you got to get out in front of this and address this. This is a big problem.
As Zomers plays the Jill Underlie theme song of this program, All by Myself, because that's what she's all by herself. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about that and the passing of a broadcasting icon with Jane Matinere, Zomers, and myself. This is the Cotton Ball Show across Wisconsin.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Get out your radios. Get your Civic Media app. My gosh, there we go. Wow. Get it out every morning. It's a party. It's an information feel-good party every morning from 9 until 11 with Matinere on air and Jane Matinere, Greg Bach. Jane joins us now, as she does now every Monday at 2:30 from the lovely Milwaukee area via StreamYard. Jane, I want to make sure we get to it. Give us a little bit of a teaser, as they say, because people keep telling me I got to talk about these things. Give us a tease. What's coming up this week on Matinere on Air?
Well, at least tomorrow you are going to be joining us at 9:30. Corrine Hendrickson is also going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about childcare. This is not a problem that has all of a sudden gone and it's just fixed itself and gotten better. That isn't the case. So we are going to talk about childcare. Jim Santel joins us on Thursdays. There is always so much to talk about with him these days. And I think on this Thursday particularly, Rand Paul now says that we should not be blowing boats out of the water without knowing for certain that these people are criminals. That's called extrajudicial killing. So we'll be talking about that with Jim Santel on Thursday.
Looking forward to that. And boy, yeah, it's a weird world where I never thought I'd find myself agreeing multiple times with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rand Paul on occasion.
Make them stop. Make them stop sounding logical so I don't have to agree with them. It's driving me crazy.
But thank God there's at least a couple of people now and again. I'll give them that.
True.
By the way, Carmella, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, says, Todd and Jane, I'm glad you're addressing tribalism, or in your case, anti-tribalism. You're calling out the BS on both sides of the aisle. We need more people in our media environment doing just that. Thank you, Carmella. Well, thank you, Carmella.
Thanks, Carmella.
It means a lot. Talking about exactly what she said here with Jane, we did the Republican side. They don't want us talking about Trump trying to undercut beef farmers and not giving federal relief to Wisconsin flood victims. And on the Democratic side, this whole issue with Dr. Jill Underlie, Jane, the DPI secretary, again, to me, it's no longer or very little about the story in the Cap Times. It's now about the fact that Dr. Underlie refuses to be interviewed, refuses to sit before a legislative body, takes off to receive a personal award at IU in Indiana over the weekend instead. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle. If you're an elected official, I think it's your responsibility to come forward.
Without a doubt. And as far as it's my understanding that this award she was supposed to receive had been set up a long time ago, I don't care. I really don't, forgive me, but I don't care, Ms. Underlie. It's about priorities. And your priority should be addressing parents who are genuinely and not without reason concerned about this. And one of my big frustrations with Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is considering all of the access he has to information, he is the least informed person on the planet because he can never respond to anything. And now she's doing the same thing by making herself absent. That is inexcusable. You are the head of that department. You are the face and the authority of that department. She should have come out right away after this hit, right away.
Couldn't agree more.
Democrats not demanding her do so, I think is also wrong.
Yeah, the silence from the Democratic Party. Did you see Van Orden's tweet? And I, again, somebody I rarely ever agree with, his tweet calling Devin Remeker, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, the Timu Wickler. I thought that was pretty good.
Not a bad line. I want to know if he actually came up with that, but that was not a bad line.
I'll give him credit for that one. This is very important to me. And Jane, I want to get your opinion on this as a pioneer in this state in broadcasting for women. And I say that with all sincerity and respect. The great Susan Stomberg, the first woman to host a national news program in this country, passed away last week at the age of 87. She was an institution, national public radio. Speak a little bit as one of the early pioneers, one of the first women in this state to really be something on the radio and to maintain that for decades. What does Susan Stomberg's legacy mean to you?
Well, for one thing, Todd, I mean, she had a good 30 years before me, so I do nothing but stand on the shoulders of women like her. And the fact that you would equate me in any way, shape, or form with her is beyond flattering. And I think giving me far more grace than I deserve. But back to Susan.
Disagree, but go ahead.
Think about what she, the landscape. I mean, there was misogyny and sexism in radio when I entered in the 80s. She entered when? In the late 50s, yeah. Early 60s? Mm-hmm. When did she start her career? And the incredible fortitude, inner fortitude she must have had to go in every day and advocate for herself and hopefully find some man, because it was predominantly men, mm-hmm. who would also advocate for her.
It says here,
it had to be really difficult. It had to be really difficult.
I can't imagine. It says on the WISN Channel 12 stories last week, she became the host of All Things Considered in 1972. So she
in 72, had but other, even so.
Right. Even I before mean, that, she was still in radio.
Right. And becoming the host of something like that on a national scale is huge. So, again, obviously she had some advocates and obviously she worked for it. But I'm sure it took her a long time to be taken off of fluffy light stories,
right.
You know, which is what they tended to send women reporters into. Cover recipes.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Do that stuff. Cover
yeah.
those stories. Yeah, cooking and those things. And so I have nothing but respect for her, massive, massive respect for her.
I appreciate your reflections. I believe that Susan Stomberg should have some sort of memorial in this country. We should remember her, particularly in our industry. And you know, your humility, that's just who you are. But I know our friend Kristen Bry, who used to be on this network and now is somewhere else in Milwaukee, she gives you a lot of credit for helping her when she came here and to be paired with you. And people know you, know your voice and dedication. And congrats for setting the stage in Wisconsin for women broadcasters, for all of us, but in particular women, Jane.
I've been very, very fortunate. I have lived a blessed life, and for which I am very grateful. And it's been a lot of fun. Thank you, my friend.
Our pleasure. Jane Mattner every Monday. We're back after this in Hour 2.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.